Hey guys, what's going on? It has been a while, but I thought I'd fire up the old camera to say hi and talk a little bit about what's going on in the news, especially with TikTok. And there's a specific reason for that. Ties into what I usually do, what I usually focus on, and I'll mention that in a bit. I don't think I need to do too much of a setup here. I think you probably already know the U.S. voted on forcing TikTok to sell within 180 days or face a ban in the U.S. I doubt that even if TikTok wanted to sell, they could, a deal could be reached and closed within that time frame, but whatever. I don't personally use TikTok, and I don't even really use its counterpart Douyin here in China either. So on a personal level, I'm not too bothered by it, but I think it serves as an amazing illustration of how the world actually works, and that's the reason I want to talk about it. The way I'm going to do this is I'm going to talk about what I think is really going on and what I think it says about the whole situation and the implications, even if you do want to take this national security concern threat at face value. So, to start, the whole principle, the U.S. often talks about this free and fair competition and supposedly embraces the idea of relying on a system of capitalism that allows for the best man to win. But in reality, they've always shaped the world in favor of their own corporate interests in quite sinister ways, no less. Through its dominance at IMF, they forced policy requirements on global South countries designed to strip them of any self-reliance and increase their dependence on the West. You know, I've talked about this before. And even how it's resulted in famine, as was the case in Malawi. They've gone after Indonesian and Canadian aviation industries, both PT, IPTN in Indonesia and Bombardier in Canada, usually accomplished through how they manage their foreign policy to set things up in a pretty unfair way. Even on the hard power side, they've deployed their military to brutally protect their overseas corporate interests. I mean, one of the most famous cases is the United Fruit Company in Guatemala, but that's of course far from the only case. They managed a forced takeover of France's national energy champion, Alstom, putting it into the hands of American-owned GE. During that time, they held Frederick Perucci, one of their senior executives, in a maximum security prison in the U.S. with no chance of bail. Until, of course, he was released within a week after Alstom agreed to sell their business to GE. No coincidence there, eh? So even as an ally, you're not safe from America's predatory practices. So what else were we to expect when a Chinese-born social media app began to overtake American social media apps? It wouldn't have been safe even if it were made by a country that was loyal to the U.S. Not even America's most obedient lapdog, Australia, would have survived this. And speaking of Australia, one of its most evil and comically dishonest think tanks, ASPI, wrote a report attacking TikTok and WeChat just last year. And it was sponsored by none other than Facebook, who, of course, will become one of the big winners if TikTok eventually does get banned. Completely tying into what I've been explaining thus far, policy that favors American corporate interests. Not so coincidentally, so many of the politicians who voted on this ban are heavily invested into TikTok's competitors. But everyone should know by now that these conflicts of interest are exactly the kinds of things that make American politicians so wealthy and far more loyal to American corporations than they are to its ordinary citizens. Now, there are, of course, other sharks waiting in the waters in case TikTok does decide to sell. Steven Mnuchin, the former Treasury Secretary who had Trump sign an order that said TikTok eventually had to be sold, says he intends to purchase it with a group of investors he's putting together.
Start with TikTok, because I think we're all trying to understand what's happening here, whether it should be banned, divested, or otherwise. And if it is divested, who may be a potential buyer?
Well, when I was Treasury Secretary, I chaired CFIUS, and CFIUS approved, and I had President Trump sign an order that TikTok had to be sold. And I continue to believe that. So I think the legislation should pass, and I think it should be sold. I understand the technology. It's a great business, and I'm going to put together a group to buy TikTok.
You're trying to buy TikTok.
I am, because this should be owned by U.S. businesses. There's no way that the Chinese would ever let a U.S. company own something like this in China.
You said, have you already put a group together?
Yeah, well, I'm working
You're
on it.
You're exploring a group.
I've spoken to a bunch of people, but...
Who would be part of your group?
I can't tell that to you now, but...
America is so insanely corrupt that you wouldn't even really be able to parody it with something even more ridiculous in terms of its financial corruption. Now, there are other people who are suggesting that Israel has a hand in this as well. You know, there's a video going around of a leaked call by ADL chief Jonathan Greenblatt. He's on record saying that we have a TikTok problem.
The issue in the United States' support for Israel is not left and right. It is young and old. And the numbers of young people who think that Hamas's, you know, massacre was justified is shockingly and terrifyingly high.
Now, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC, does pump millions and millions of dollars into American politician campaigns every year, which is a bit odd when you think about it. You know, there was actually a funny illustration, a tweet from a Ben Shapiro parody account showing an APAC event with the quote, "I wish the Russian and Chinese would stop interfering in U.S. politics." It is, though, how, you know, concerned everyone is supposed to be about foreign interference, how concerned the government wants you to be. But Israel lobby groups get a free pass and are just a regular part of the American political system. I mean, let's examine this a bit more. Let's listen to Ted Cruz, who also gets a considerable amount of money from APAC, when he's grilling TikTok's CEO. Pay attention to what his concerns are.
If you look at what is on TikTok in China, you are promoting to kids science and math videos, educational videos, and you limit the amount of time kids can be on TikTok. In the United States, you are promoting to kids self-harm videos and anti-Israel propaganda. Why is there such a dramatic difference?
Anti-Israel propaganda. Why is this even supposed to be a concern for American politicians? It's wildly bizarre when you think about it, unless you reconcile their funding, of course, I guess. Now, this other idea he has about China's version of TikTok, Douyin, being more wholesome and having its limits on its users' time limits is another ridiculous comparison, because that has everything to do with how social media is regulated in China. And it's part of the reason Western social media apps can't operate in China, because they don't follow local rules for the Chinese market, which granted includes a lot of additional censorship requirements that are a bit more direct and in your face, and dare I say, even more transparent compared to Western social media censorship, which absolutely does exist as well, but just in a different way. But TikTok is operating in the US according to American local laws and requirements. You can't single out one social media platform and arbitrarily ask it to be more wholesome. If there really is a societal concern about this for Americans, do what China does and make these into requirements for all social media platforms. I mean, otherwise, are they just expecting TikTok to voluntarily limit its users' time on an app while they can just pop over to an American competitor's product and spend unlimited time on it? I mean, it's broken logic, and these are silly, desperate excuses to take TikTok down. But let's go back a step and back to this idea that its users don't have a friendly view of Israel. This is also a silly reason to ban TikTok if it indeed has anything to do with it. The demographic that seems to be attracted to TikTok is younger and willing to challenge these traditional ideas on Israel and its occupation and on Zionism. If you ban TikTok, these people will still exist and they'll just be dispersed across your other platforms, especially considering there's no evidence that TikTok was specifically inorganically boosting anti-Israel narratives. In fact, there's many examples of the opposite being true. For over a year, I have seen and heard of people, they've been posting it on X, of pro-China and pro-Palestinian voices being censored, heavily censored on TikTok, or having videos removed or deboosted, including from a friend at Midwestern Mark, sorry. There's another guy, Ian Carroll, he's been testing this out too recently. So he posted a video talking about how APAC is sponsoring this TikTok ban, and he put a Free Palestine hashtag on this video. He says that it got immediately throttled and couldn't take off. It hardly had any views. Later, he posted the exact same video with no hashtag, and it quickly climbed to about 500,000 views. He also posted what he refers to as an anti-China video, sharing footage of Tiananmen Square and talking about the Uyghurs. And it exploded to well over 500,000 views. So this is completely not in line with what the U.S. government is saying, that it's a tool of Beijing's influence. I'll post a link to his video explaining how he did his test, and he goes into a lot more detail. It's quite interesting. You should check it out. But zooming out, even if we were to take this primary Chinese influence risk at face value, this being the supposed primary reason, despite there not being any evidence of it, if this is the whole premise being used to ban TikTok, they've inadvertently validated China's approach to the internet and Western social media app censorship. Social media apps, which actually, unlike TikTok in the U.S., refused to follow China's own local requirements when it existed in China and before it got blocked. This is also in the face of hard evidence that the U.S. is constantly operating influence campaigns all around the world. You know, I'm reminded of a USAGM conference. So USAGM is the organization that's responsible for American government propaganda media outlets like Voice of America and Radio Free Asia. They even admitted that this is a Cold War era tool of influence that's cheaper than using their own military.
The soft power of the United States costs almost nothing compared to our military forces and doesn't endanger our servicemen and women. That's why we prohibit these organizations from communicating with the American people, because there could be some effect on our elections.
So much so is it a tool of influence, they had restrictions on its reach within America out of concern it would influence its own population. Their own product, they criticized China for keeping out, they want out of their own country too. Now, back to TikTok, the U.S.'s own intelligence agencies have actually admitted there's no actual evidence of Beijing using TikTok to influence Americans, and that it's a completely, entirely hypothetical situation they're talking about here. But America, the U.S. using its hard power to overthrow governments or interfere in foreign countries' affairs is not hypothetical. It's well documented, just as America using its soft power to influence populations is as well. But now that America, through this TikTok campaign, has essentially admitted that populations can be influenced and coerced by foreign propaganda, and that censorship is required even when only a hypothetical risk exists, puts its country and anyone else who has been virtue signaling about their superior systems that trusts the judgment of its own people who live in a censorship-free environment in an incredibly awkward position. They don't have much of a moral high ground to stand on anymore, especially considering they're even more sensitive than China, reacting once again only to hypotheticals rather than indisputable evidence. But I'm sure that's not going to stop the virtue signaling anyway. They've never been shy about extreme displays of hypocrisy, of course. So to wrap this up, personally, I think this is all more about a financial incentive and an attempt to maintain American dominance. American dominance, which actually ties back to that financial incentive anyway. But I'm fine with accepting the idea of someone trying to paint this as a potential risk, even if they don't have actual evidence, providing they attempt to reconcile the implications it has for the rest of their views. I don't think that's actually going to happen, though. It's going to backfire on some of these folks, though, because I do think this will pave the way for increased censorship in the West, particularly as it loses grip over tightly controlled narratives on how the world works. They were quick to ban and throttle RT in the West after Russia invaded Ukraine, trying to limit the potential of people comparing claims from both sides and coming up with their own conclusions. I remember when all Western media apps were forced to censor the details of the assassination of Soleimani. They said it was removing posts sympathetic towards Iran in order to comply with the U.S. law, which is kind of funny in itself. This was global censorship to comply with America's feelings on Iran. But in fact, they were actually even removing posts that simply mentioned Soleimani was on his way to peace talks with Saudi Arabia. But news does spread quickly now, and I think they're going to have a hard time even following through with this ban, considering how many people are upset by it. it isn't as easy to control Western populations through soft propaganda and covert censorship anymore. So I think you're going to see way more in-your-face censorship in the coming years, for which this TikTok initiative also serves as a logical attempt to soften people up to the idea that your government needs to introduce more limits and restrictions to protect you and your vulnerable neighbors, when in fact it's more about protecting the narratives they rely on to maintain global dominance essential to their corporate interests. Whether that be, you know, convincing you that there's a new set of evil people out there that need to be bombed, when in fact it's more so just a great way to wash American taxpayer money back into weapons manufacturers, which then fund the politicians taking you to war to begin with. Whether it's convincing you a country who didn't capitulate to the West demands needs to be sanctioned for some other manufactured reason, or whether it's convincing you that you need to support Israel's Zionist project, after which Israel will send thank you packages back to your politicians to fund their campaign and keep them in power, which are, you know, positions that also come with incredible insider trading opportunities or many other foreign policy decision-making powers that ultimately directly or indirectly eventually tie back to a financial incentive. I think this video is already long enough, and I could drill a lot deeper, but I think the cues are out there, and there's going to be more of them coming, so you guys keep watching out for them. I'll try to see what I can do about making a video more often. I can't make any promises yet, but I will see you next time. Peace.